This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, and spend wisely, and parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/audio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of True Crime Time for Wednesday, January 8th, 2025. And I'm Woody Overton.
And I'm Cindy Overton.
Coming at you on a cold, cold South Louisiana day. I'm sure it's cold where if you're north of us, you got to be cold, huh?
I mean, I would think so, but some of those people just.
Well, they're used to it, I guess. But, you know, down here, we got to. Yeah, you know, it only happens maybe two times a year. You got to leave all the water running and all the faucets outside on all the different properties and pray to God nothing freezes up. But when it's in the 20s for like 12 hours at a time and the wind chills in the teens.
For us, that's.
Yeah, that's cold.
You're laughing at us up north.
You might be busting some pipes regardless.
So. I think Dave McKinnon's laughing at us right now, our Canadian.
I'm sure they're laughing at us in July when we're 110 in the shade, but 120 heat index, and they're in the 60s.
I know.
So,
still cold.
It is cold. And how's the Christmas decorations coming?
They're pretty much gone. Didn't notice?
Epiphany?
It'll be an epiphany if you realize.
Hey, it's the start of Mardi Gras season, people. We got March the 4th is Fat Tuesday, so now it's King Cake time. Boy, if you don't never had a King Cake, you're not from Louisiana, you don't know what you're missing.
Well, I just saw this on 225 magazine, like online, and there are 7 new King Cake things that are out this year, like styles of King Cakes that are not normal. Of course, like the Boudin King Cake.
Yeah, I had that last year. It was pretty good.
The one that's like made by Heavenly Donut. It's not really a King Cake. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, and then there's one that looks like a huge empanada King Cake. And
people are going to buy it and try it because we love King Cake.
Right? Yeah, but we
usually have to. Every year for my birthday, instead of a birthday cake, I get a King Cake.
You do?
And we'll do it again this year.
Yeah.
So with that, let's get down to some true crime time for Wednesday. And what we're going to do today is talk about a story. I think it's worth talking about because I'm looking up stuff and this story is like 4 out of the 5 top things that I saw when I'm looking up stories, true crime stories. And I briefly remembered it, covering it back in the day. But I'm going to let you tell the story. I can't say it's a chick story, but it definitely involves a chick. Hey, let me do a.
It's time for Family Matters.
Because I believe this story is definitely a Family Matters.
Also be a worldwide crime.
Yeah, it could be. But it happened most of it here. So what's going on? Tell us what we're talking about.
Well, Natalia Grace, I'm sure there's plenty that have heard of her. Her story has brought on a new surge because they have on ID, Discovery ID. Is it Discovery ID? There was a series. It was a two-part series, and now the third part is coming out. And that's why it started its momentum again. It came out on January 6th and 7th.
Okay.
So the original series.
I hate the manner of truth. Yeah. Discovery ID, January 24th, is it?
Uh-huh.
The new season of Cold Case Files is on ID, and it's about Southern murders. And we are going to be featured on the episode on January 24th. It premieres, I think it's a Friday night at 8 p.m. Central Time. Mm-hmm. And it's about Courtney Coco's case again, that beautiful family and a tragic murder. And so y'all tune into that one, Discovery ID fans.
Yeah.
Cold Case Files.
Yes, right? Definitely. Well, the name of this docuseries is The Curious Case of Natalia Grace.
Right.
And so the first two seasons of it focused on her adoption, how she got here from the Ukraine. And that's what I'm going to go into. Uh-huh. But I was reading up on it, and I thought the more I read, the worse this gets, or the more involved it gets. And the next sentence I read is, the more you get into this case, the more disturbing it is.
I bet if they did a three-parter on it, it must be.
Right? Yeah. Seasons, too. It's not just a three-parter. It's like seasons. So it's... Natalia was born in the Ukraine, and she has a rare form of dwarfism. And I'm not even going to begin to try to say the rare form of dwarfism. But the
dwarfism is like people that are small, right?
Right. But, you know, also has like some sort of like mutations in her, like her limbs might not stretch out all the way. You know, I mean, it's just, but with many other medical issues. And so, apparently, what was said by the mom was that the Ukrainian, the birth mom, was advised to give her up for adoption because she was going to require so much.
What year was she born in?
She was born, well, apparently, she was born in 2002.
Okay.
But that comes into question as well.
Okay.
And
so they told her mom to give her up for adoption.
Yes, that she would never be able to care for her at the with what she needed. And with so many people looking to adopt, they assured her that they could find someone to adopt her. And they did. And the first couple that adopted her has last name Manses, M-A-N-S-E-S. And they are from Florida. They met in I might get some of this information wrong, but they were from Florida. They went to the adoption agency and they sat down to meet with her. At that time, she was a 6-year-old little girl. Mm-hmm. And the daddy would have been daddy.
But they're living in Ukraine, so they had to do this online or something. It's not a...
They had brought her over here. I don't... From what this is, again, what I've read, I mean, just what I've been able to come up with. I did not watch the docuseries.
Right.
So when, and maybe he did go over there, but I do know that he says,
I'm saying they probably have a thing online, international adoptions or whatever. I've heard, I know we had other cases on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, when he saw this little girl, he felt evil and he didn't continue with the adoption.
Really?
He said he doesn't know if it was evil on her, evil with the situation, but they backed out.
Yeah. They might ask for some money or something.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And he said it was just one of those feelings. It was the first time in his life that he had one of those feelings, and he's trusted it ever since.
Yeah.
But that there's a twist in that as well as the story goes on. So the adoption agency then finds another couple, and this couple is a very successful couple. They live in Indiana somewhere, and it's Michael and Christine. And so they have three sons of their own, but they are like wanting to do more with the money that they've made in their life and spread goodness, and they adopt somebody. And so they set out to adopt Natalia. And they go to Florida, And they decide that they took their three sons and they're like, we're in Florida. We've never gone to Disney World. They went to Disney World and they literally go to the agency, get Natalia, have their little warm meet and greet and all of that and say, we're going to Disney World. And the boys are excited. The oldest of the boys is autistic. The autistic, like, Rain Man autistic. Mm. Like he's a genius.
Right.
He's a child prodigy in math. They have that they're dealing with as well. And so the mom, Christine, goes to give Natalia a bath the first night at Disney World. Mm. And the 6-year-old has pubic hair. And
she's Natalia.
Yes.
Okay.
The mom was like, well, maybe this is part of like her.
Dwarfism.
Yeah, I don't know anything about this. So she just kind of like puts it in the back of her head and keeps on going. And they enjoy their time to Disney World and years go on and weird things happen.
But they adopt her.
They continue with the adoption and she goes home with them.
Yeah.
Life goes on. Mm-hmm. The mom actually through Facebook finds another woman in the area that also has a child with the same type of
dwarfism.
Yeah. And it's extremely rare.
Mm-hmm.
So they set up a meeting, like a little, let's get our kids together, you know, so they have someone to relate to. And that mom of the other little girl never wanted to meet with them again.
After the first meeting. She thought they got played or something.
Well, she thought that, and Christine thought that Natalia exhibited herself, she acted older than what the actual 6-year-old was.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Natalia's supposed to also be 6, and Natalia looks older, even though she's a dwarf. Her age just looks older. She speaks more eloquently.
Mm-hmm.
She says more adult-like things, and that mom kind of warns Christine and says, look, I think something's up here, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But look at mine and look at yours, and I can't say what's going on, but I'm never going to meet with you again.
Yeah.
Like, that's Jeez it. Louise. You figure it out.
She got the evil Jeeves on her, too.
Yeah. So then Natalia continues to do different things. Like, one time there was a weird situation that happened, like at an ice cream place where there was, for some reason, an electric fence, and Natalia tries to drag Christine to the electric fence to get obviously electrocuted. And there was witnesses to that. And that's apparently on the documentary.
Isn't Christine a grown up?
Christine's the mom. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how a tiny dwarf can do this, but I'm just saying it was witnessed. And this is one of the things. And then the family would find like tacks on the stairs, like upright tacks, so they would step on them. And there was knives hidden underneath the fridge. And apparently Natalia just had like this evil streak in her and would do horrible things, so much so that they took her to a psychologist.
Okay.
And she was diagnosed as a sociopath.
Hmm. At 6 years old.
At six. Well, time had gone on. Gone. So now she's approximately 10 in their world. So he suggests that they get an age test done on her because of she had also been hiding her period. Of course, she had pubic hair and she's been hiding a period.
Right.
So they do that and it's believed that she was actually born in 1989, which would make her approximately 12 years older than what they thought she was.
So she's in her 20s.
Exactly. So what the family does is she's in her 20s. She's no longer a minor and they try to write her off. So they go and they rent an apartment for this girl in Lafayette, Indiana.
That's where the my LX 4000
comes exactly.
from. Polygraph.
And that's why I remembered. Yes. So they rent an apartment for her and she causes havoc in the apartment complex. At first, she was like, got the neighbors on her side and they couldn't believe that this mother would just like drop her off and just go deliver food to her and, you know, never see her. When they put her in the apartment after a certain period of time, the family up and moves to Canada.
Yeah, they're hauling ass. Huh?
They are hauling butt. And they go under the guise of getting a better education for their autistic son, the prodigy. Mm-hmm. Natalia causes so many problems in the apartment, they have to go and move her. Mm-hmm. So Christine finds another small town in Indiana, mm-hmm. Where they decide to move her. And Christine's exact words were, "We're going to find a place with white trash so she doesn't stick out and her behaviors don't stick out."
What?
She does stick out.
Yeah.
And the police catch on and they're like, "What's this little girl doing?"
But she's not a little girl.
But she's not a little girl. But even what they did was kind of smart, kind of like what happened with Brooks, is they charged Michael and Christine with leaving a dependent, with child abandonment of a dependent based off of her handicap. Mm-hmm. And so they were charged with that, and then which led to another DNA test where they actually went to the Ukraine and tested the mom and matched up. I have no idea
the cops
what
did this?
The cops did this during Indiana? Yes, these small town cops. And
it tested the mom, what happened?
Obviously at that time, like in the Ukraine, things were uneasy and they went over there, you know, with all the battles and war and whatever. And they determined that she was in fact the little girl that they said that she would, that she said she was.
So she's not 24.
That's what, of course. So is, but then
that's confusing.
DNA testing again shows that she is in fact older. So it's still more like it goes back and forth. There's no definitive age. The mom said the date that she gave birth to her,
which was what, in 2002?
Yes.
So she's sticking to her story.
She's sticking, but she's
I bet you that at online adoption ages, they're not doing it out of the goodness of their heart.
No,
they're doing it
want
for
the money.
Yeah.
So it just goes on and on. And so now the new documentary starts with Natalia has a boyfriend that she met online. And
so she's, according to the cops, she's only like 12 years old.
Exactly. So that's, let me back up. So Christine and Michael are now divorced. The second adoptive parents, the first adoptive parents, the Mancys, stepped in that live in Nashville, Tennessee. They went and got her.
Oh, Lord.
But then like she started wreaking havoc over there, and they don't like her either. And they're apparently mean to her and abuse her. So she tells her online boyfriend, "You need to come save me." So he goes to get her. And that's all I know of what is happening on the current season because I haven't watched it and there's no like write-ups about that or anything. So it's crazy. I mean, I can answer some questions if you have them, but I'm not a Woody Overton storyteller.
That's a Jerry Springer episode from back in the day, right? I mean, parents abandoning this and that and Ukraine adoption agencies and how old is she really? But I mean, she got her own series, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how does that work?
I don't know. It gets more crazy the more you read into it. And apparently with the new series, the new season of the series, it's even more wild.
Wow.
Now, Michael is the daddy. The adoptive daddy is on one of the seasons with Natalia. And he is now saying that Christine was actually the one that was the abuser in the situation. Christine now lives in Florida, and she wrote a book about raising a kid with autism and things of that nature. But she refuses to be on the series and talk to anybody.
It's divorce, right?
Yeah.
Throwing some shade.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. That's crazy. I guess y'all go watch it on Discovery ID and we'll give you an update. I don't know. I mean, she's got to be making money. I don't get it all, but it certainly is something that would sell, right? And they're proving that. So, all right then. Well, very good. Thank you for all that.
Yeah.
Whatever that is. I don't really know.
I told you.
There was a criminal charge in there of abandonment.
Yeah.
So Let's go to South Dakota. Okay. And South Dakota is absolutely beautiful. And, you know, I did the Black Hills and did all that when I was up there working and Indian reservations and all that. Very different landscape. I'll take you up there one day. We're going to go to Sturgis. Yeah. I'll take you up there one day. But anyway, let's go to South Dakota. And there was a lady named Heather Ann Bodden, B-O-D-D-N, and she'd be dead. The Craig Nichols, who is 30, junior, who's 32, is facing charges, including murder and manslaughter for killing 41-year-old Heather. So, guess what? He killed her, and then he kept on doing what he does. He cut her head off.
My gosh.
Yeah, I know, right? So anyway, this Craig Allen Nichols, 32, was arrested in Yankton, South Dakota, which is located southwest of Sioux Falls, after three women called police to report that they had found their friend with her head cut off in her apartment on Thursday, January the 2nd. Can you imagine?
That is a little bit too much.
Yeah, that would be a shock. All right, South Dakota Attorney General Marty Jackley confirmed this in a press release that the woman was identified as 41-year-old Heather Ann Bodden. And according to the court documents, Yankton police responded to a call around 3:30 p.m. local time on Thursday. And after speaking with three women, they made entrance into the apartment and observed what they appeared to be a deceased headless person.
Oh, I don't think there's any appearance,
right? I mean, you used to write in your police reports, based on my training and experience, I believe this to be such. Well, I don't think it takes too much training and experience to know that
someone's
a person is their head and that they're probably not alive.
Yeah. But,
so one of the women had told the police that Bodden had told her over a text message on New Year's Day that her boyfriend, Nichols, had been threatening her with a weapon that afternoon. She added that she had not heard from Bodden for more than 24 hours, and they do what good friends do, and they decide to go check up on her, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, security camera footage of Bodden's apartment complex, which the cops got, showed three men, one of whom was identified as Nichols, arriving at Bodden's apartment around 10 p.m. on Wednesday night, so New Year's night. The two other men, who are only referred to in court documents by their initials, CE and CR, well, they told the cops in an interview that the group of four participated, and this is a quote, participated in the use of narcotics, so the three men and Bodden,
mm-hmm.
and that Bodden was alive when they left her house.
Okay.
Yeah. See, the two unidentified men, well, the one we did by their initials, were seen leaving the apartment at around 11 p.m., and Nichols was later seen leaving, but then he came back several times. Left, came back. And then guess what? He was carrying two trash bags out of the building between 2:50 a.m. and around 6:45 a.m. on Thursday morning. So two separate trash bags, two separate trips.
But the head was still there?
Stay tuned.
Okay.
So I guess, you know, when the cops came in and they saw the headless body, the police searched Bodden's apartment, and they found a trash bag with her head and a bag of bloody clothing labeled as belonging to Nichols, and three weapons wrapped in a floor mat. So he's just in there chopping away, and then he's trying to clean it up.
Yeah.
Now, you know how, you know me, and I'm like butchering hogs and deer. It's nothing nice and easy right?
No,
human body, got to be different. But the cops also found shoes with a reddish-brown substance on them inside Nichols' apartment. And the court documents state that Nichols said they wanted a blood and urine sample. He's like, fuck that. I ain't giving it to you.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? They can get a search warrant for it. So Nichols is now facing second-degree murder and first-degree manslaughter charges and two counts of contempt of court. And I would reckon that would be for they got the search warrant for it, like on Haley's case mm-hmm. on the one video when they got him in the jail cell. And they're like, we need a sample of your DNA. He's like, do I have to give it? And they're like, well, we got a search warrant for it.
Right.
So anyway, if you, and I've had to do this, we had to physically put people down and get the DNA
really? Sample
from even after you have the search warrant, and then you get to charge them for resisting.
Wow.
So the, Yankton Police Department and Yankton County Sheriff's Office are still investigating the incident, and they together they're looking into it. And Nichols' ass is in jail, and he'd be back in court today.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. Biden's family talked about her death and GoFundMe page. They were trying to raise her funeral expenses, etc. They said, Heather Biden was tragically and brutally taken from us by someone who claimed to care about her. And Heather was a bright spark in this world. Her friends and family loved her quick wit, as she was always ready with a joke or a snappy comeback. She loved her daughter. Oh, I guess she was a mom. She loved her daughter, Lily, to the ends of the earth, and her mom, Pat, was her best friend in the world. Pat and Heather's stepdad, Sherman, will be caring for Lily. So yeah. At least Lily's taken care of. Wow. Biden is survived by her parents, her daughter, seven siblings, aunts, uncles, and cousins, and many more family and friends who loved her dearly.
Yeah.
That's a fucked up way to go. Hopefully he killed her before he got her head.
I hope so.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I've had both of the, worked both types of those, but doesn't make it any easier, I don't guess, right?
No, I think. Okay.
Oh, I wonder if South Dakota has a death penalty. Stand by. Does South Dakota have the death penalty? I'm going to tell you.
Here's what I found.
Yes, South Dakota definitely has the death penalty. It says as of November 2019, five condemned all-white males have been executed since capital punishment was reinstated in the state in 1979. Wow, they only killed five people, but it's not a lot of people in South Dakota.
Yeah.
Four of the five men executed waived their normal appeals and chose to be put to death. And a further two men killed themselves while in South Dakota's death row. So they just saved the state some money. And then, wow, that's crazy. But you know, Louisiana per capita puts more people to death than anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Well, per capita, we have a lot of...
Yeah, a lot of bad people.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah.
And they're about to start up again, new governor.
I know.
We just wait till that shit kicks in this year.
Okay, so.
All right, your turn.
What links would you go to go from point A to point B where you had to fly? You have to fly, but you can't afford to fly. So what are you going to do?
Drive.
But you have to fly.
Like. I got to fly to Ukraine because I can't drive there.
Yeah.
And I got to get there. Is it like, if I don't get there, I'm going to die situation?
Uh-huh.
I'm pretty sure you're not getting away with hijacking a plane. I would put myself in a crate and have somebody air freight me over, but like make it like it was a live dog or something. I don't know. Something
yeah.
like that.
But you would not get in the wheel compartment of an airplane.
What are you trying to tell us? Are you trying to tell us a planes, trains, and automobiles for the first time in 2025?
Yes, I am.
Tell me about it.
So two bodies were found in a JetBlue plane's landing gear at a Florida airport.
They just had another person found like last week or something inside a landing gear.
Well, they were discovered.
Like a copycats.
Monday, so it would have been January 6th,
yeah.
On a flight from New York to Fort Lauderdale.
Okay. Trying to get down there and get some of that summer weather.
I guess so. And so the bodies were discovered during a routine post-flight maintenance assessment of the plane.
I'm guessing they were frozen out.
I don't know. It says paramedics pronounced the two people dead at the scene.
Dead,
and it was
yeah.
unclear how long the people had been in the landing gear.
They might have been on the flight before it got to JFK.
They could have. And the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, which manages Kennedy Airport, did not immediately respond to a request for a comment. I mean, what are they going to say?
Yeah.
How they access.
Maybe
right. And The landing gear compartments located under the aircraft's wings are at the front of the plane and have been used by people attempting to travel undetected on airplanes. Yeah. Who would choose to do that?
I saw something last week. They found somebody else dead in the landing gear on a plane.
The story goes on to say that the airline did not say whether the two people who were found dead Monday were stowaways. Well, what else are they going to be?
Maybe somebody forced them on there at gunpoint.
Yeah. That's why I said sure if you have to fly. Away. Like if you have to fly.
The captain of that plane would have been Captain Obvious.
Right.
If you think that they're not stowaways. Or you got another suggestion besides stowaways, let us know.
Exactly.
It.
So. And as you know, because you've flown many, many times, you can hear the landing gear going up and down. Yeah. So the compartments open and close during takeoff and landing, and they retract the wheels. And obviously, they could have fallen to their deaths, which they didn't.
Yeah.
So somehow they were secure up there, but then they don't know how they died. I'm assuming they weren't crushed to death. It's not.
Yeah. That's probably enough room when those things tuck up. It's got to have clearance room on the sides, right, for them to tuck out. But I'm telling you, I saw.
Yeah, I'm reading. It's right here. As recently as Christmas Eve, a body was discovered in a wheel of a United Airlines flight from Chicago to Kahului. Is that Hawaii? No,
they're trying to get out of the cold, probably.
But he was found alive in the landing gear compartment. Another man was found alive on a flight from Algeria to France, but he was suffering from hypothermia.
Yeah, it's cold as fuck.
That is the last.
It's cold up here. Hey, you know the airlines, they cheap as fuck. They're not trying to heat that little space for stowaways.
No. Let me heat this up for you. Can I get you a drink?
We got some good Sitka gear to stay warm when you're hunting. I don't even know if that would work.
No.
You're flying 10,000 feet or however many thousand feet. It's cold up there. All year round.
Yes. Yes.
But it seems like all of them except the dude from Africa were trying to get to the warm climes.
I know. But I want to go to several places and that's not the way I want to go.
So you climb inside the wheel and to save, your $600 or whatever.
But I want to know how they climb inside a wheel. Are they?
That's scary for security reasons. For the airport.
Exactly.
Yeah. No doubt, right?
Yeah.
And, I don't know.
They're not saying they were employees, So, it's a huge question of security.
Well, somebody is unemployed. Don't you think?
I would.
You find out they're in there, and I mean, come on, man.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a mess.
Hot mess, but it's cold for them. So,
right.
Well, there you go. There is your. And let me take you out for another good old episode.
It's time for Family Matters.
So let's go out to Montana.
That's beautiful. I've never gone, but I worked up there.
I don't think it was the same trip as the South Dakota trip. No, it wasn't. It was a different one.
Part of the same case, though.
I don't think so.
Oh, no. Uh-uh. That was not.
It wasn't the same case because I remembered specifically I was in Billings. Of course, I'd flown in, so whatever was bigger, and then flown into Billings. And then that morning, I was supposed to fly out. I'd been there like a week.
It was still a government case, yeah.
Yeah, and I was supposed to fly out, and it was snowed in and whatever. They were like, we're getting free tickets and pay for your. I was staying in the Hilton on the river. Is really nice.
Yeah. And the pizza place.
Yeah. That's what, on Friday night, the pizza. There wasn't that many restaurants in Billings. They did drink a lot, though.
I
Googled the shit, the restaurant, best restaurants in town, the best pizza. And Friday night, I called to order a pizza and they were fucking out of pizza. It was like 6:30. Sorry, we're out of pizza. I'm like, motherfucker, how you run out of pizza? So the next day, Saturday, that was Friday night. Mm-hmm. Saturday, I walked across the bridge to the pizza place. Wasn't that far, and wanted to get out and got there. And that's the first time I saw one of those bathrooms that were whatever they're called.
But it was also, I'm going to brag on you. You saw the sweetest little family.
Oh, yeah.
A father, son. I know you do, but and you paid for their check.
Yeah.
Because you just thought they were the sweetest family.
Yeah. And I bet it would remind me of my family that I wasn't with. And I used to be on the road so much, y'all. And then another reason we love y'all and you're blessing us with this. So, I mean, it was, I made a good life.
You're blessing me a lot.
Yeah. 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 What's that epiphany? You have an epiphany. Anyway, Montana's absolutely beautiful. Pretty cool people. But let's go there. Four Aces Bar. But so this dude in Montana has been sentenced to 140 years in prison. Guess what he did?
Cut a woman's head off.
He killed his wife and her suspected lover. So Craig Walter Benson shot and killed his wife, Jenny Benson, and bartender Logan Gardner at the Four Aces Bar in Superior, Montana on August the 27th of 2023. And I told y'all, he was sentenced to two counts of deliberate homicide just on January 3rd. And after he was found guilty by Ravalli, R-A-V-A-L-L-I county jury in October 2024. So you get found guilty, you come back later on for your sentencing, right?
Yeah.
He got 60 years for each count and an additional 10 years for using a weapon in a violent crime. And he's going to serve it all at Montana State Prison. Now let's talk about that. Louisiana, we got like seven or eight prisons, right?
Yeah.
Because we'll be locking motherfuckers up.
Yeah.
And Montana State Prison is pretty much the, yeah, that per capita, right? So, you know, I don't really understand the extra charge. I understand the federal charge, like Project Exile. In Louisiana, if you do a felony and you have an illegal firearm, it's automatic 5 years.
Yeah.
But some of these states have, you know, you shoot somebody to death, you get the charge of murder, then you get a charge of using a weapon during a crime.
Well, it's, I mean, okay.
You got to use a weapon.
Got to ask, let me ask a silly question. But all of those charges are, when he goes to trial, he's serving trial for all of those charges.
He's serving trial?
He serves a trial. He goes to trial.
Mm-hmm.
All of those charges.
Yes.
So let's say that the jury doesn't find him guilty of one, but they could find him guilty of another. So could they have thrown that in there just to ensure at least he got 10 years? Oh,
maybe so. Good point. Good point. I didn't think about that. But could be. So anyway, let me tell you about it. Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? I know Sydney was, and if you're a woman, you're definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now, found in our food, water, and even in our skincare products. These disruptors can wreak havoc on our hormones. Believe me, before Hormone Harmony, I watched Cindy suffer. Not anymore. Hormone Harmony's formula, made only with herbal ingredients, have reduced Cindy's hormonal symptoms, and it helps women of all ages. Then there are the natural hormonal changes our bodies face, such as menopause. While these processes are part of life, they don't have to be uncomfortable. The good news is that you don't have to suffer through it any longer. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts known as adaptogens, designed to help the body cope with stressors, including those chaotic hormonal fluctuations that can disrupt your daily life. Whether it's PMS symptoms like irritability and cravings, or menopause symptoms such as hot flashes and night sweats, Hormone Harmony can help with it all. Happy Mammoth, the creator of Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to improving women's lives by using only high-quality, science-backed ingredients. They make no compromises on quality, ensuring that you receive the best support possible. This isn't just a supplement. It has become a phenomenon. Women are talking about it everywhere, with a bottle of Hormone Harmony sold every 24 seconds. And the most important benefit, women express feeling like themselves again, a sentiment echoed in over 30,000 positive reviews. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code RLRC at checkout. That's happymammoth.com. Don't forget to use the code RLRC for 15% off today. You want to set your child up for success? Is your child struggling with a specific subject, or do they need a challenge to keep them engaged? IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies, and adapts to each child, meeting them at their personal level. As a homeschool parent, I can tell you that IXL has been life-saving for my son, WL. He uses iXL every day and allows me to tailor his learning experience based on his specific skills, not just his grade level. If he needs support, iXL finds his current level and helps him build up to where he needs to be. And in areas where he's advanced, iXL propels him forward without any setbacks. What I love most is that iXL uses visuals in its questions and lessons, which really helps WL learn math and science better since he is a visual learner. The interactive practice problems and educational games make learning fun and engaging. With iXL, school is a positive, fun experience. WL enjoys earning awards in the educational games. iXL is trusted by 15 million students worldwide and has proven to improve performance in over 75 scientific research studies. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get iXL now. Real Life Real Crime listeners can receive an exclusive 20% off iXL membership when they sign up today at iXL.com/today. Visit iXL.com/today to access the most effective learning program at the best price. They blessed this boy. They got surveillance footage of the incident. And Craig and Jenny, who were 49, they were sitting at a table together at the Four Aces bar before Craig leaves to smoke. Go burn one outside.
Yeah.
Right? He goes outside to smoke.
Just take his son.
Man, I can tell about that. All right. So then taking a gun from his wife's Chevrolet Tahoe, he then goes back in to see Jenny sitting on a stool by the bar where Garner is bartending.
Okay.
So Garner and Jenny are the victims.
Yeah.
And he's 43, right? So Craig just pulls out the gun from his waistband and shoots Jenny in the head. Right there in the bar in front of everybody.
Right.
Bam! And shoots her in the head. And then he starts firing at Garner as Garner runs like a motherfucker.
He's not a little bitch.
That's the oldest defense known to man, running, right? Running from the dinosaurs. But he runs to the door. And Craig ain't done yet. He turns and he shoots Jenny again, a second time, as she's already dead on the floor. He shot her in the head. And then he returns his attention towards Garner and shoots three more times. And then
Garner's not outside yet?
Well, obviously he got him, but stick with me. Then he's just sets the gun on the bar, walks out the door, and gets in his wife's car.
Just gets in the Tahoe and goes.
You can't make this shit
you
up.
You can't.
I'm not maybe laughing. It's not funny.
No, it's just horrible.
But Jenny died. Evidently, she lived for a minute because she died in the hospital. And Garner died on the scene. Garner's the one who tried to get away.
Yeah.
When you get shot in the head, I've seen it before. People shoot, blow the whole face off, and they're still alive. But anyway, he shoots her multiple times. She dies at the hospital. He dies at the scene. So Craig was arrested on August 28th, 2023, after he was caught driving the same wife car. Oh, that's where I was, Missoula. On a Missoula County highway, and this is according to Law and Crime and KRTV, Missoula, Montana. I stayed right there across the river from the college.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, it really was. Anyway,
so being watched too.
Craig evidently decided to take the stand in his own defense, and during his cross examination, he just said, "Jenny, told me that she was not going to go home with me." That she was going to go home with Logan. And I went outside, and I'm pretty sure that's why I went outside. It was going back into the bar and having that last conversation. Mm-hmm. He then claimed in court this month that he had this in the sentencing part. He said, "I ain't remember nothing of what happened. I don't remember nothing about the shooting or what occurred afterwards." Well, motherfucker, the judge was in the courtroom the first time. It's right. The same judge that's sentencing you, and you told him that you did it for these reasons, right? And he's stupid as fuck. All right. In a statement before being sentenced, Craig apologized. He said, "I too lost my best friend that night, the love of my life." No, motherfucker, you didn't lose her. You killed her. But shooting two people at a bar with witnesses are not actions with memory. Having no memories is no excuse. This motherfucker, he ain't making new sense. Anyway, he told an NBC Montana that. So the agent Ward The Division of Criminal Investigation testified that recent phone calls made by Craig in jail mentioned him wanting to take a paternity test for whose daughters who he shared with Jenny. Said Jenny's daughter, Paige, called Craig narcissistic. Yeah, and she did a Zoom with the court. And Jenny's father, Terry Savage, added while crying out in court, Jenny was my only daughter, the joy of my life, my best friend. So that's a crazy fucking story, isn't it?
That is a crazy story.
So you know, come on, man. I guess you know you're fucked anyway. I mean, you're getting 120 years.
So you play dumb? I mean, that's
Here's this thing. I didn't say there's mandatory sentence in like Louisiana. You get second degree or above, second or first. It's a mandatory life, right?
Yeah.
With no chance of parole. This dude, I mean, you know, Montana, Big Sky Country, they don't play a whole lot up there. But you in court on cross-examination said, hey, yeah, I did it.
Yeah.
And I did it because she was fucking the bartender.
Yeah.
And I went outside. That's like premeditated as fuck. I went outside and that's the reason I went outside.
Right.
I had the gun. But I was going in to have that last conversation. Now,
a couple months later. He does not recall.
You should have been saying, Your Honor, I fucked up. Please have some mercy on me.
Yeah.
Da, 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 all these different things. But this idiot says, you know, fuck that. I can't even remember it.
Well, I don't even blame that on him. I blame it on his attorney allowing him to say that. His attorney should have.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure he'll use ineffective counsel on appeal.
Right.
But
I blame that line of answering from Bill Clinton. I do not recall.
Yeah.
I didn't inhale.
Oh, I did not have sex with that.
I did not. Yes.
I'm pretty sure that you may not put your penis inside her, but you had some type of sex with her. Anyway, that's crazy as fuck. I don't know. I guess I'm just sitting here thinking about it. I guess Montana's kind of like South Louisiana or like Wisconsin, where you got all these small hideaway bar rooms.
Yeah.
And like I always say, my mama said, you never have to go bar to find two things in South Louisiana, a barroom or a church.
That's true.
It's the same there.
That's true.
We got to go out there. Hey, lifers in Montana, let us know where you're at. And the coolest things come see. I got to go find some gold. I still got gold mines in Montana.
Yeah.
So I want to find some gold. Yeah. All right. The good stories. I don't know about that crazy ass. I mean, that's third worst dwarfism. Don't send us any messages about we being fucking racist and shit or dwarfisms or whatever, because we're not. She was just telling you the story. And I don't know, man, some of the stories like that. I mean, I guess people are interested. It's a hit, big deal. Out of five, everything I went to was about this.
Yeah.
Whatever.
And I don't like get into stuff like that.
Yeah.
But
I got too much else to do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think for me, I used to watch like Dateline and I used to like Criminal Minds, but it's like you, it's like going to work.
Yeah.
So when I watch TV, I want some stupid TV show that I don't have to think about. And I'm just watching someone else's drama and silliness. And like,
I'm pretty sure that might qualify.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like not. Hey,
let me ask Siri this question. Turn on my volume so they can hear it. Siri. How much does it cost to adopt a kid from Ukraine?
I found this on the web.
Let me tell y'all what it says. There's got to be a money thing in that. Average number of U.S. adoptions a year are 400 to 600. Average cost of adoption is $30,000 to $40,000 a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it only takes 3 to 5 weeks.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, fuck, I guess. Oh, shit. You know how long it takes to adopt a kid here?
It's
forever.
Right.
They said families who want to adopt from Ukraine must meet United States and. Yeah, that's not true. Ukraine adoption requirements as outlined, da, 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 da. Age, adoptive parents must be whatever. And blah, blah, blah. Adoptive parents must be 21 years old and 15 years or older than the child they wish to adopt. So if you're 21, I get that. I understand that. Previous years, parents could not be more than 45 years older than the adopted child, but that requirement has been removed. And you have to be married, employment income, they don't have a requirement for that, but you must be able to show proof of a steady income and the ability to support a child. And who can be adopted in Ukraine? Ukraine has standards that the children must meet to be deemed adoptable if a child, blah, blah. If the child's listed in some database, then it means all standards have been met. Adoption process, because the United States is a Hague convention country, many steps to your adoption will follow the convention standards, blah, blah, blah. Even though Ukraine is not one, you must also blah, blah, blah. Hell, that's crazy. Whatever. All right. Well, there you go.
Well, I would think if someone has 30,000 to 40,000, they have shit.
You live in Ukraine,
money,
and you get 34,000. That's a paycheck.
You're a millionaire.
And wait, and you're adopting 400 to 500 a year.
Mm-hmm.
What's 400 times 30,000? 1.2 million.
Yeah.
Shit, that's a good payday for somebody.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's enough. We're not gonna take more of y'all's time. Hashtag justice for Haley. Craziness just continues. Mm-hmm. Y'all will be getting another jailhouse visit, Miss Barbara and them with Brooks, and it just gets crazier.
Yeah.
And see, I had some lifers mentioned, like on the last one, I made comments while it was going on instead of like I did before. So I'll go back to that, y'all, that I'll play the whole thing and then
make the comments.
Then I'll make the comments. So on the episode after this one.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, hashtag justice for Haley, real life, real crime, original stories are coming as soon as I wrap up State versus Scotch Peterson Scorch. And thank y'all for liking and listening and sharing. And we are blessed.
We are. But going back to your last statement, there's a lot of people that like it with the way you broke it down too. So it's
I was just kind of playing with it to see. It's not like I have jailhouse visits every day to the thing is, there's so much he lies about and I want them to know. He's like, no, we didn't do anything. First of all, this is the 10th time he's changed his story about what they did that day, but it's some version of nothing that they stayed in an apartment. I'm going to bring the proof after this where they actually went that day and the shit that actually happened this whole lot.
Yeah.
And everything he's lying, I felt like I needed to comment because there was so many lies. Lie, 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 lie.
Yeah.
And how Miss Barbara and Stella sit there with a straight fucking face and deal with this dude, I have no idea. But they, again, deserve the Academy Award.
They do.
And hashtag justice for Haley. And that's my ringer. That's it. Conclude this episode of True Crime Time for Wednesday. And I'm Woody Overton.
I'm Cindy Overton.
I'll holler at y'all later. Peace.
Zaxby's Sensation Salad is so much more than a plain old salad. It's a salad, which begs the question, at what point does a salad stop being a salad and become a salad? Is it when you add Zaxby's fried chicken to it? Crunchy wontons? Asian slaw? Citrus vinaigrette? Teriyaki glaze? Sweet and spicy sauce? Or is it when you top it all with a handmade perfectly fried egg roll? Without a doubt, the egg roll. The Sensation Salad, only at Zaxby's.